T-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingian here with you live inside BetMGM Sports Lounge, which is inside Bridgestone Arena, for the Atlanta Braves Country Road Trip. Braves and Blue Jays on the big screen, have some delicious food, win some Predators tickets, the Predators season finale, of course, tonight at 7. Also right here inside of Bridgestone Arena, we'll have Chris Mason on in the next segment to look ahead to that and as we start the autopsy of the Predators season. But as I said before the break, I feel like we're going to have to come up with some sort of theme music for this. Maybe we can develop it for our recurring segment. Is Jared Stillman bananas? By the way, Mark in Paris on our text line says, you don't have to explain. The answer is yes. But
I like that.
But
fair. But you haven't heard our argument. Oh, don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
You know, it's harsh, but fair. So we touched on this a little bit at the end. And remember, we will have Jared on at the end of the show, so we can perhaps take him to task for this.
We did sort of start this discussion
yes,
yesterday.
Yes, we did. So we've spent a lot of time discussing Legarius Sneed and the the issues he's having. He was arrested after a shooting, I guess. I mean, no one was injured, but you know, there was a shooting at a car lot in Texas. He was allegedly involved. We've talked a lot about that, and it's led to questions about the future of Legarius Sneed in Tennessee. Now, Jared is anti-Legarius Sneed, not just for this incident, this alleged incident, but because of the injury issues. He only played 5 games last season, the knee issues, the quad issues, all of those things. And then it was reported yesterday that the Miami Dolphins are trying to trade Jalen Ramsey, the hometown boy himself, Jalen Ramsey. So listen to what Jared Stillman had to say on Stillman & Company about Jalen Ramsey and Legarius Sneed.
9 times out of 10, I would say, do not do this. But this is the exception. Jalen Ramsey is set to make a boatload of money in Miami. And the Miami Dolphins have granted Jalen Ramsey permission to seek a trade. Their general manager, Chris Greer, who is a terrible general manager, came out today and he said, I think it's best for everybody involved that we move on. I.e., we're out of the Jalen Ramsey business. This would be the 3rd trade of Jalen Ramsey's career. He was in Jacksonville. He complained his way out the door there to the Rams, got traded to the Dolphins, and now the Dolphins are looking to trade him. He carries a $26 million fully guaranteed salary. That's a lot of money. But I'd make the move. Why? Because you need a corner. That's why. You need a corner. Free agency is behind you, and Jalen Ramsey is probably, even at this point in his career, at 30 years old, and he's not the same player he was 5 years ago, but at this point, Jalen Ramsey is probably what you thought you were getting in Legarius Sneed.
So that was Jared Stillman yesterday.
Just to clarify.
Yes.
Is this under the assumption that Sneed is not back?
Yes.
Okay.
Move on from Sneed, acquire Jalen Ramsey.
All right, so for this
to line up, though,
hold on,
Jared's
David.
Theory is that they would not have to pay Sneed.
David,
right?
Go ahead.
All right, so Jared just sent me a text. He said, throw this disclaimer out there. I was right about Legarius Sneed last year, and y'all were wrong. That's what Jared told me.
No. You can't say throw out
that,
the disclaimer.
That's what he told me. No.
No, I'm not saying you, David. You're just reading it. I'm saying he can't say throw out the disclaimer. I was right about Legarius Sneed. Up until now, yeah, you're not technically right because it wasn't, from what I gather, a knee injury.
Right.
So you can speculate however you may have gotten
Jared,
your information.
You're listening right now. You will be on our program in about 40 minutes. We will allow you to address it then.
Yeah.
But this is our show, so we're going to steer the conversation. But we're going to talk about the Jalen Ramsey take. So, Jared suggested, as we just played, that the Titans should move on from Legarius Sneed and take a run at Jalen Ramsey.
That is just I'm going to say this the nicest way I can. Jared, that's just completely wrong, man.
Okay,
that,
let me just...
That is just completely...
Let me provide some information about this situation. The Dolphins sent a third-round pick and tight end Hunter Long to the L.A. Rams in March of 2023 in exchange for Ramsey, and he signed a three-year, $55 million restructured extension upon his arrival. He was named to the Pro Bowl that season despite missing seven games and signed a three-year, $72.3 million extension shortly before the start of the 2024 season. He was credited with 11 pass breakups in 2024 but recorded only two interceptions, his lowest total since 2020. The Dolphins have already paid Ramsey a $4 million roster bonus at the start of the league year. Any team that trades for him would be responsible for the remaining $21 million owed to him in 2025.
Exactly.
That according to ESPN.
He's not a top 20 cornerback in this league anymore. Miami, they're thinking is he's not worth the $21 million left we got that's guaranteed that we got to pay him. This is a situation where – listen, if this is still Rand Carthon, you would probably blow a gasket, Jared, if they even thought about bringing in Ramsey, especially with the $21 million and a guy that is declining. Listen, he was one of the best cover corners, if not the best cover corner for a period of time. I think it was like a four-year period in there where it was like, listen, you didn't go at him, and he held his own on that island. But as I've seen with many defensive backs that have been his caliber, as you start to get to the end, your play changes and you're not the player that you once were. There's no way, I believe, there's no reason why I believe that the Tennessee Titans should bring in Jalen Ramsey. He's a declining asset. Is he a solid player still? Yeah, he's still a solid player, and he may just may have a season when he's a really good a good player. But just looking at the career the last couple of years, it's a declining asset. Listen, that's not it happens to everybody. Everybody becomes a declining asset. As some if you stay in this game long enough, you're gonna become a declining asset. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson may have been the only two exceptions because they chose to retire early and maybe Tom Brady. But everyone else has been a declining asset. That's what Jalen Ramsey is. Why would you bring a man on that contract? And even if you rework it, he's still going to want some guarantees and you ain't doing nothing but pushing the money down the road.
Yes.
Why even get yourself – that's the sign of a desperate franchise.
Okay, okay so Chad on our text line says – we're doing Jared a little dirty by leaving out the rest of his case for it. He advocated for a restructure and only a
no matter what,
you're paying the money.
Exactly,
you're kicking the can down the road.
He's guaranteed $21 million.
So then you're
going to
be paying him when he's 32 and 33.
Exactly.
Mike Florio says Ramsey has a fully guaranteed option bonus for 2025 in the amount of $18.98 million. The new team would be on the hook for that payment along with a fully guaranteed base salary for 2025 of $1.255 million. That's $20.153 million for a 31-year-old cornerback whose best days are in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. So Jared doesn't seem to remember what happened last year when he was talking about DeAndre Hopkins mm-hmm. and how they should restructure
yeah,
his
Jared.
Contract and sign him to another. And we said, Derek and I, he's already 30. He's not going
a
to be what he was.
Asset.
He's a declining asset. You don't re-sign. You wait it out. So he's at the same stage of his career. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey is a great player. He grew up in this area. He was a great player.
Uh-huh.
He is not the same guy that you're going to get when you bring him in. So you don't pay him that elite money. Now, the other part of this that we hit yesterday was the Titans need picks.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be acquiring picks. Why would you trade an asset to get Jalen Ramsey, who is not going to make the difference of a winning team? You're not going to win with Jalen Ramsey. If they were one corner away from being a Super Bowl contender or getting you over the top and you feel like, all right, we just need that one more player, then I could understand trying to figure out a way to make it work, squeeze him in there, kick the can down the road, restructure it. But that's not where they are.
No.
They're in a full rebuild. You don't bring in players like that. And why would Jalen Ramsey want to come, other than the fact that he's from here?
Home, yeah, but why would he want to come here?
He wants to win. He wants to go on a team that's going to win. Now, somebody who's going to honor that contract or rework and give him more guaranteed money,
maybe that's what it is. Because he's already won a Super Bowl.
But ask yourself this. Why would the Dolphins want to get rid of him if he's still an elite quarterback? They're trying to win.
Yeah, but that's my thing.
The Titans aren't in this. They're not in the contender zone right
they
now.
They don't. I said it best last week. They are not in a position to gamble. They are not in a position to take chances. Like, oh, we could take it. They weren't really in a position to take a chance last year, but they did it. And look where that put them.
But okay,
they are not in
best
a position
case?
To take a chance on an aging player.
All right, let's say you trade a fifth-round pick, which Jared says isn't worth anything, right?
A bag of footballs.
Right. Let's say you trade a fifth-round pick and you get Jalen Ramsey and he has a really good year. What's best-case scenario there for the team? You win 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
You win 8 games instead of maybe he's worth 2 wins.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Uh-huh.
Where are you?
Where does that put you?
Yeah.
As an organization.
Why bother?
This team is trying to get away from contracts like that, Jared, and you know this. They're trying to get away from, signing guys that are older to these, massive contracts. This regime, I'm not talking about last year's regime. So why would I want to go out? And I know they signed Zeitler, and Zeitler's been in, but it's not some mega deal. You're not picking up. You didn't trade for him. You got him via free agency. Why would I trade for a guy that, listen, his best days are behind him, and that's no knock on him because his best days were great, but they're behind him, and he's an asset that is only going to, decline. So why even waste your – Why even put resources there?
DeAndre Hopkins, DeNico Autry. We can go through the list of players.
Yeah, he paid for DeNico Autry. And Kevin what did DeNico Autry
Kevin
do?
Byard.
Paid
right?
for Byard.
All of these guys who hit the age of 30, yeah, every now and then there's a guy that finds the fountain of youth and stays productive into it, but the odds of that happening are low. And so if you're going to pay a guy like that, you don't pay him the premium price that he earned when he was still an
elite
player.
Like if he wants to come
player.
In for, five,
yeah. Now
six,
that's
okay.
A whole different story.
Let's sign him. I ain't got to give up
he
no
gets
picks.
Cut. If he
exactly.
gets cut, then I'm in that market for
Absolutely.
The right price.
Absolutely, bring him in now. Because it's only a truly a one-year deal. 1 year and prove it. A prove it deal.
According to ESPN, the Dolphins have considered trading Ramsey for weeks now. Despite a thin cornerback's room behind Ramsey, Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, said moving on from the star cornerback gives the team the, quote, best chance to help us win not only just this year but in the future as well. Really, after a couple of weeks of discussions between ourselves internally and Jalen and his representation, we decided that it was probably in the best interest for all parties to move forward. I will say these decisions aren't done quickly and they're not taken lightly because we spent a lot of time this offseason working through this, talking through things. At the end of the day, Jalen did not ask for a trade. We went through the process and I just felt that after numerous conversations and then talking last week with Jalen and his agent that it was best to move forward and it was in the best interest of the Dolphins for Jalen Ramsey.
Let's give you another example.
And for Jalen
the Titans
Ramsey.
Have already moved on from Harold Landry.
Uh-huh.
For the same reason. They didn't think he was worth the premier money that he was
They're
going to get paid,
him,
and so they took the savings. And Harold Landry is younger than Jalen Ramsey.
I also just
and not as that and you know I
his
I think
resume
he,
don't even stack
I also
up
just
to
wanna,
it doesn't
Jalen
yeah,
Ramsey.
I want to address something
but,
quickly
but
because
still.
Andrew on our YouTube chat says, "Do you guys not understand that Jarrett's argument is considering this only if Snead is not going to be in a tight uniform next year?" Yes, we understand
yes.
that. Even then. I'm
not
sure I would
for.
Do it.
I'm
I wouldn't do it even.
Yeah. Paying him $21 million.
Even if they didn't have Snead, I wouldn't do it.
We know that Jared wasn't saying bring in Jalen Ramsey to play with L'Jarius Snead. We understand his point was if you move on from L'Jarius Snead.
Well, but we don't even know if they can move on from L'Jarius Snead. They're a long way from being able to say, oh, we're just going to be able
so
to.
So we understand the
get
context
the free, get
for
a
those
freebie
of you
for
who think that we're taking Jared out of context.
Yeah,
we understand the context.
I was listening to it when he said it.
And did you think he was bananas?
I thought he was bananas when he said it. Because I think it's, again, unless Miami is cutting him, releasing him, and they're going to take the bulk of that hit, which I don't think they want to do. They want to facilitate it where, you know, you take some of this money or you take it all. I am not giving up draft picks. I don't care if it's a seventh-round pick. If I still got to pay that $20 million and I'm giving up a seventh, sixth, fifth round, I'm not doing it. Because to me, if you don't want them on your team, you'll cut them. You're going to cut them. And then I can bring them in for $5 million and don't have to give up no picks. And just make it an incentive contract for that 1 year.
Bob in Mount Juliet says, who is more likely to help the Titans win next year, Jalen Ramsey or Lajarius Sneed?
That's not the point. They already have Lajarius Sneed.
Yes.
They're not going to win even if they had both of them, I don't believe.
So I would say Lajarius Sneed gives them a better opportunity.
And they don't have to give
it. Because he's already been in the system. And
they don't have to give up an asset for Sneed. Sneed is younger.
One texter.
If Sneed
can't play, who is playing corner? Jarvis Brownlee?
Yeah, guys you draft, guys you bring in.
Draft.
They're not going to be very good. Face the facts. You're building a roster. It's going to take time. I'd rather see what I have with a younger, more inexpensive player. Maybe you find a guy. Maybe you find a Cortland Finnegan. Maybe you find a lower-round pick that ends up being a good player.
We got another. Listen, who's going to play corner? Well, this team is not in a position where, you know, they're going to – You know, well, they may, but as it sits now, do we think they're really competing for a playoff spot or to win the AFC South? Probably not, but anything can happen. I am not moving away from Lajarius Sneed unless what happened, and now we got to make a decision. But outside of that, when you say, well, who's going to play corner? There are going to be guys, whether it be via the draft or guys
who get cut in training camp.
Yeah, of Ramsey's caliber right now, that will get cut during the camp. That's going to happen.
Or before camp, salary cap casualty kind
so,
of stuff.
So free agency, you're using it to supplement your roster. Any guy you get, whether it's Ramsey or anybody, it's not. This guy, like you said, Willie, this guy's going to come in and now all of a sudden we're a playoff team. No, it's to just supplement the roster places you don't have individuals or depth.
So Jared tweeted yesterday as part of his show, I would swap day three picks with the Dolphins and Jalen Ramsey would have to take a pay cut from $26 million to $21 million, but that's the move to replace Lajarius Sneed, who the Titans should
from
move on
26,
from.
It ain't
they don't have a choice.
Million.
They can't move on from him until everything is hashed
exactly.
out. We don't know if this is going to be hashed out in the next year.
Yeah, this thing could keep going.
I know that Jared is wish casting
yes.
that Lajarius Sneed is right.
He's put the cart ahead of the horse there.
But he's even saying you give up a draft pick and you pay him $20 million. Bro,
you don't need to do that. He's going to get cut.
Except,
let's get to it. He's going to get cut if nobody offers him anything.
And the Titans spent a boatload of money last season in free agency. Where did that get them? Right? Because one texter said,
they would have got, a Woozie.
One texter said, why do they need money so bad this year for?
I'm not saying that they need money. I'm just saying, moving forward, you got to be smart in what you're doing because your organization is so far behind, you don't have luxury to say, let's pay Jalen Ramsey $20 million and throw him out there and expect him to be an elite cornerback. No, that's not going to happen. Now, if I get him for five, yes, let's do it. But I'm not giving up a draft pick either. So that's just me. Listen. If the Titans choose to bring him on and they want to pay him the $20 million, so be it. But then if it does something like that doesn't work, you can't blame your fan base for being upset with you. You can blame the Titans and then Jared.
Well, we will have Jared on at the end of the show as we transition from DVD to Stoneman & Company. We will allow him to respond. I'll just let Derek and Jared have a schoolyard bash. I'll just sit back and enjoy the delicious food at BetMGM Sports Lounge, which is where we are today for the Braves country road trip. Come watch the Braves take on the Blue Jays. Have a chance to win Predators tickets as well. 615-737-1025. Chris Mason, Predators TV analyst, will join us coming up next. The Predators season finale tonight right here inside Bridgestone Arena against the Dallas Stars. We'll talk about that with Chris and more coming up next. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you, it's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615-OPEN. Team Ace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, by Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, the season finale for the Predators tonight at 7 o'clock. Now, Chris, I am going to read you a list of all of the players who started for the Predators in the season opener against the Dallas Stars. I'm going to read to you a list of the players who are no longer on the team. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. So that is, by my count, eight players who were in the starting lineup for the Predators in the season opener against Dallas are no longer on the team in the season finale against Dallas. We're going to have a lot of time over the next few weeks to sift through the wreckage of this season, but as we approach the offseason after tonight's game, what's the biggest question the Predators must answer to get back on track? Do we have Chris?
Do you guys have me?
Yes,
there we go.
Hi, Chris.
Okay. Sorry, I'm there. Sorry, I was talking and nobody heard me. That's how I feel like 90% of my life. No, I'd say the biggest thing that they have to address going into next season is, how do you get this team to produce at even strength, at 5-on-5. I think when you look at the roster and maybe play faster, you know, I think they had good special teams, they had a good power play, they had a really good high-end penalty kill, top eight in the league. I think the power play is somewhere around middle of the pack. But 5-on-5, this team just completely underproduced. They, you know, gave up large majority of scoring chances, did not create a good defensive environment. And I think if you're not scoring 5-on-5, that to me is where you should, you know, really try to focus on your game. That wasn't the case. And they weren't able to generate. And it being, I think, the lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League. And when you look at that roster, there's just no way that should happen. So personnel-wise, there's obviously going to be a lot of things. You know, a lot of those guys that you mentioned, I think were expected you know, to maybe elevate their game a little bit. I think Tommy Novak was, you know, trying to kind of pigeonhole to be that centerman between Stamkos and Marchessault, maybe. That didn't work out. Tomasino, they were hoping he could take the next progression in his career. He wasn't able to do that. You know, Dante Fabro, I think that was more of a salary thing. And, you know, if you have him as your seventh defenseman, you know, you might as well just move on and clear space there. And I think in order to get younger, you know, Alex Carrier is a guy that I think we all, you know, liked on this team. It's just a matter of his salary and wanting to get a bit younger and taking a chance on a prospect of Justin Barron. So to me, the issue is going to either have to be tactically or personnel-wise to get a little bit faster and improve the production 5-on-5.
Chris, at the trade deadline, speaking of Tommy Novak and Luke Shen, the Predators traded them to the Penguins for Michael Bunting, and there were a lot of questions about that deal, from myself included, about the value of Michael Bunting. Barry Trotz clearly values Michael Bunting and thinks that he can be a veteran who can help shepherd some of these younger players. I feel like we have received the full Michael Bunting experience since he joined the Nashville Predators. He's got 5 goals. I'm sure all of them have come within just 1 or 2 feet from the net. He has 20 penalty minutes. He's getting in scrums. I feel like... He has 20 penalty minutes.
Not 10 minors, though.
I think it might be.
He has 10 minor penalties since he got to the Preds?
I think he got in a fight, didn't he?
He has 9 minor penalties. according to in 17 games. I'm not sure.
Penalty minutes.
Take it up with NHL.com. My point is, Michael Bunting, we've received the full Michael Bunting experience. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think it's been great. I think if you look at pros and cons, you know, having a player like that, you're going to have to eat some of those penalties. You know, a lot of those, he's taken somebody with him. He's drawn a lot of penalties. I think having seen him, you know, compared to the group before him, they didn't have that element. I feel like he makes this team a lot harder to play against because other teams hate playing against guys like that, and they don't like playing against Michael Bunting. He's not a big guy, but he's definitely not scared or shy to go to the net. He goes to those areas. He gets in your face. He gets other teams off their games. You know, he plays on the edge. You know, he tries to draw penalties, maybe dive sometimes, but, you know, gets a lot of reaction from the other team, and he plays hard. I mean, and he's got – and the other thing, if you watch his game closely, he's a skilled player. He's got skill. He can make nifty little plays in tight. He's going to go get retrievals, get the puck out of the corner, and get it moving toward the net. If he doesn't have it, you know he's going to be right in front of the net waiting for that puck to get there. And I think it's been a great add, and I've really, you know, in the small sample size that we've seen him, I think he brings a lot of value to the team.
Mace, I'm curious your perspective. It was a super frustrating night for UC Soros. It's been a frustrating season. What would be the go-away theme for your talk with him? If you're, you know, Andrew Burnett, if you're Barry Trotz, I'm sure they'll have those discussions because he's such an enormous factor in whether this team can bounce back or not. They need a great season for him, and I think we have documented throughout the year how much of a lack of support they've given him in goal support and the environment in front of him with the defensive coverage. And there's no better example than what we saw against Utah. So how would you sort of couch that discussion, and how would you try to, you know, sort of help him rebuild, because it's been, I'm sure, weighing on him mentally, all of the struggles that have gone on.
Yeah, it's been tough, and, you know, we've seen it, you know, in the last, you know, month or so in one of those games. You can see it visually. He's usually very stoic, and you don't get a lot of physical reaction no matter what's going on in the game, and I think we've been seeing that from him lately, and I think that's just, you know, built-up frustration on how the seasons went. Just seems even in a game where he's playing well, you know, his goal is going to go off his own defenseman. It's going to be a couple screenshots. He has no idea where the puck is. And, you know, things like that have happened so often this year. But my advice would be, you know what, if he goes and plays in the World Championships, I hope it's a good opportunity for him to kind of go have success there. But I would just say, just delete this from your memory. You know, there's no question about his off-season work ethic, and he, you know, he's going to prepare in that regard. But I would just say mentally, just take some time, you know, don't do anything hockey related, just clear your mechanism and just get away from the game and this season. And then when you're ready, you know, you're going to hit it hard and come back. And, you know, I would also tell him we're going to be a lot better next year. You know, we're going to make some changes and whatever the plan is. But I would just, this is one of those seasons where you honestly want to forget. You want to use it as motivation in the summer, you know, to work on some things. You know, I'm sure they'll, you know, look at some things or maybe habits that creeped in. And because sometimes when your team's not good defensively, you do have things that creep into your game, you know, because any given scenario on rush opportunities, because you give up so many, there's so many more outcomes of that play that can happen. So sometimes you find yourself, when you get it over and over and over again, you're kind of cheating or leaning a little bit or turned off the angle, getting loaded up for a pass. And I've seen that a little bit in his game this year, is, you know, certain situations where he'd be completely square and he'd trust his ability and his athleticism to get over there in time. I think I've seen, because they've given up so many of those types of chances, that he's starting to lean a little bit and fade over to, you know, maybe the most dangerous possibility or the second most, you know, dangerous possibility in that situation. But yeah, I would try to delete this season from the memory for sure.
Okay. So now give your goalie perspective on Justus Onanen, because that's another guy that I think they believe can continue to get better. He's still at an age where he's actually played a lot of NHL games relative to players his age. Some guys don't even get a chance to play in the NHL at all until they're 25. And he's got a lot of games under his belt, and he's just now turned 25. But he does seem to, when he's on, right? He's really good. He's had little lapses within games. But how much of this do you think he has room to grow?
I think he's got a lot of room to grow. And I've seen in his game when he's on, I think he's really confident in his depth and his ability to get from point A to B and maybe a cross-ice thing and, you know, a cross-ice play. And I think for him, my biggest thing would be to find the balance of your depth. When he's not playing well, I find that he fades way back into the goal line. And he's a big guy. He's a very good skater. You know, in the ice, he's got great net coverage. But when you fade back, you're giving up a lot of holes. Again, you kind of fade off that angle. It's more of a defense mechanism for a goaltender when you're not feeling good, or maybe the defense in front of you isn't. It's kind of, you feel like you're a little more protected because you're closer to the net. But in reality, that hurts you. It opens up a lot of more holes. You're just not square to the initial play. So I would be doing a lot of video with him and just showing him, hey, when you're on top of your game, you're here. Your toes are on the blue. You know, you're challenging the shot, but you still have the athletic ability, just to trust his game more in those situations. So I'd be working a lot on, you know, trying to help him figure out the balance of when he's playing good, he's at, you know, point A or B, and when he's, you know, struggling a little bit, he has a tendency to kind of back in and make himself a little bit smaller. So I'd be doing, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff with him, or at least send him home with that. I know they can send it over the summer, but just a lot of that kind of stuff, just so when he goes back and he gets on the ice again, that he's got, that front of mind to be able to focus on that during his summer training when he gets on the ice.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us. Predators season finale. You can catch Chris and Willie one more time on FanDuel Sports tonight. Chris, great stuff as always. See you tonight.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Chris Mason on the program. 615-737-1025. All right. It's time to make our transition from DVD to Stillman & Company. We've shamed Jared for his Jalen Ramsey take, and we will allow him to respond coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063 the game. We are live at the BetMGM Sports Lounge for the Braves Country Road Trip. The Blue Jays have a 1-0 lead against the Braves. Does that say top six? My eyes are terrible, as you can probably guess from my glasses.
That's
yes.
The top of the six, yeah.
All right, but you can still come out and see us. Stillman & Company will be here coming up next. But, of course, before we get to Stillman & Company, we bring in Jared Stillman. Now, Jared, when I heard you share your Jalen Ramsey's take yesterday, I thought of, first of all, you did admit that 9 times out of 10, you would not be for this. But I just thought about you talking about L'Jarius Sneed and someone texting in and saying, Jared, what about Jalen Ramsey? And you going, no, 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 no.
And 9 times out of 10, that would be the case.
But you and Derek have already had a spirited conversation about this off air. You've heard what we've had to say. Here is your opportunity to respond.
I just want to know, what players am I allowed to go get? Because I'm not allowed to get Sam Darnold because he only had one good year. Like, yeah, he's coming off a Pro Bowl season, and so I'm not allowed to do that. And now I have to value draft picks, but I'm not allowed to trade Cam Ward, who might not even be as good as Sam Darnold. And then I'm not allowed to get rid of the injured guy who's got serious off-the-field issues right now. I'm not allowed to get rid of him. I might have to just hope and pray that he plays, because I should have accepted that last year. I traded a third-round pick for him, but I'm not allowed to basically pick swap on day three in order to get Jalen Ramsey, to pay him Sneed's money so he will do the job that you all are thinking Sneed might do, that I told you last year Sneed was not going to do. So what players am I allowed to get?
You're saying then they should not have cut Harold Landry. Because that is an upgrade. He's better than the guy they're going to have there.
I think I would say, I mean, again, my issue
Landry is
who
younger,
they cut. My issue of who
Landry
they cut is that they cut the wrong guy. They should have cut Key, because Key does less.
But Key makes less.
If I knew that they were going to go do something.
There's no comparison to what those ties make.
So if
Landry's getting paid like an elite defensive end. They're cutting
him. He's not getting paid like an elite defensive end. An elite defensive end is a $30 million player. He's a $17 million player.
He is among the highest paid players on their team. He was before they cut him.
But he's not getting paid like an elite defensive end. If I could go back and do it, and I knew that they were going to do nothing at edge rusher, I would have kept Harold Landry.
Derek is
I'm just listening.
He's concerningly quiet right now.
And scrolling. That's all.
I just want to know what players am I allowed to get?
Okay, listen.
So let me ask you this question.
Bargain. Okay, you're looking for bargain. Good buys.
Who
good
is
bang
going,
for your buck?
Who is going to play? Who would you rather trust on your team next season to play corner?
It's Jaylen not about Ramsey next season. Or it's about the Sneed. Next 3 seasons.
Well, Sneed has nothing to do with the next 3 seasons, so we can.
Well, when they got him, he was young enough to where I think they thought he could play until he was about 30.
Right. And they thought wrong. So where we sit now.
In your opinion, we don't know how healthy he will be when he comes back
okay,
next year.
So
I agree that there's a very big concern.
So
there.
For this upcoming season, who do you think is more likely to help the Titans, Legarius Sneed or Jaylen Ramsey?
I think it's 50-50, and you already have Sneed.
But I'm not, again.
It's Sneed's younger. Sneed is a much better chance of helping me in 2 years than Jaylen Ramsey.
With his injuries and his off-the-field
I don't know. He's younger. Jaylen Ramsey, I know, will be 31 this year and then 32 next year.
Hey, are they
the odds? The odds are that you're not going to be an elite corner when he's 31
chance.
To 32.
I'm not asking for him to be elite. I'm asking for him to start at corner to have a starting.
And you're
going to
pay
corner.
Him $20 million?
That's
and
what then, they're doing at then, left tackle. That's not an elite left tackle. They're asking him to pay.
But that, but again,
$20 million.
You're forgetting why they probably have to pay that much for a left tackle. Why? Because, in essence, they need an offensive line. They need tackles, period. So they're going to take who was their best tackle last year and move him over to the
and
right.
They that don't may need be, a corner?
That may be they're not in dire need like they are the offensive line. You
so
know that. I know that.
You're counting on Legarius Sneed.
This is what I'm counting on. I am counting on, and I didn't say, because I want to clear this up. I didn't say don't bring in Jaylen Ramsey. I said don't bring in Jaylen Ramsey when I got to pay him $20 million and get up draft picks. That's all I'm saying. If Miami's going to cut him, if they can't get a trade, everybody knows that. So why would you be a dummy?
They can't cut
him. They're
going to take a – the
listen,
money is fully guaranteed.
I know.
They're
going to
cut
either,
him, and they're going to take a $26 million haircut.
So I don't want to take on that
if
money.
If they were going to cut him, they would have cut him already before the roster
listen,
bonus was
due. Okay, so that makes my case even more. Like, don't touch him. If I can't get him for anything – under what he's making now for the 1 year, and I'm talking about it's going to be more than a half
right.
of a cut. If I can get him for $5 million without giving up a draft pick, come on, I take him all day, but I'm not paying him 20-some million dollars when he's not a top 10 corner or a top 15 corner.
Willie, you're familiar with the Ted Williams book, The Art of Hitting, right?
Yes, I am.
And so Warren Buffett bases his entire investment strategy off of The Art of Hitting, which is every place
the
in the strike zone
is actually what it's called.
Is not every single dot in the strike zone is not the same, right? Ted's theory
is,
you know, if it's right down the pipe, I'm hitting 500. If it's, you know, on the outside corner,
exactly.
I'm hitting 230. Well, I'm not going to swing.
Get the good pitch to hit.
Until it's right.
Yeah.
And Warren Buffett's theory is, in investing, I'm never going to have two strikes on me. Ted is going to have to swing at a pitch that may not be advantageous for him to swing at inside the zone if he's got two strikes. Well, in this case, you need a corner. And I am not banking on Legarius Sneed. Last year, according to PFF, Jaylen Ramsey was the 16th highest graded corner out of 233.
I don't need him to tackle. I don't need him to – I need him to cover. And he was
13.
You know what – no. You know what he ranked at? In PFF, 71.6, which is what, a C-minus probably. He's a – again,
that's
you're looking
13th
at,
out of 233.
No. That was in the 20s. I just looked at it. It was
maybe,
in the 20s.
You may be looking at different categories.
No, I am looking at the category of coverage. That's what I'm looking
okay.
at. Okay. That's what I want him to do, cover.
But why?
But if he's
but
not.
But he's a year older.
Right.
How many 31-year-olds continue to get better?
I'm not asking him to get
you're,
better.
You're concerned about Sneed's.
Well, don't pay him the $20
Sneed's
million.
Health concerns going forwards. I'm telling you that the age concern is just as big a concern. So why would you pay a premium price for a guy that is not, he's likely to deteriorate. He's a What did you call it? A deteriorating asset. He is a declining asset.
Yeah. And you of all people
yes,
should know it.
You already have Sneed.
You argue against your own.
Sneed is chronically hurt.
Listen, you argue against your what you're saying. You argue against that every other time, but now you're not. You're arguing for it instead of against
it. Right, because in the art of the science of hitting, mm-hmm. if I can swing right down the pipe mm-hmm. and I can knock one out of the park, which is what you guys want every single acquisition.
No, I'm not talking about knocking it out of the park. But I don't. But I don't want a guy.
This is the guy.
I don't want to pay a guy $20 million when he's a C minus coverage corner.
I have to have a starting corner, right?
I get it, but I'm not paying him $20 million.
Bromley.
But I already have. I have to have two okay. on the field at one time.
So they can't. So what you're saying is, they are not going to be able to find, at least to me, in regards to the caliber of player. You're saying they're not going to be able to find the caliber of player that Jalen Ramsey is now in free agency, like as free agency continues to go. We know that veteran guys will be cut. We know that because of the money. We know that veteran guys will be cut because maybe they drafted, you know, a corner in the first round. That will happen. You have a better chance of getting one of those guys and still having the production that Jalen may give you than to pay Jalen 20 and then not be able to justify because the play doesn't justify the $20 million.
I think Jalen Ramsey is still a starting caliber corner in the NFL.
Starting caliber corner at $20 million.
Where does that get you, though?
Jarvis Brownlee is a solid corner. They ain't paying him $20 million.
Do you not think that last season
– Dan Moore is a below-average left tackle.
But that's something different.
Last season, Quandre Diggs signed, what, in early August, right, for – pretty small contract. You don't think that the Titans could find a cornerback like they found Diggs?
They can find a cornerback,
they did
man.
That. Do you know what that got them? Do you remember Jonathan Joseph? Remember when he signed, he was Vrabel's guy from the Texans, and Jonathan Joseph was a Pro Bowl caliber corner, and they
and
got
he
him
was
on the
a
cheap.
Declining asset.
And he, yeah, but Jalen Ramsey is not that bad.
He is. Yes, you haven't watched. Wow. Wow.
But you're, you
wow,
keep
wow,
ignoring
wow. You haven't
where you went
him.
Wrong on DeAndre Hopkins.
He was a great player.
As you get older,
what?
Danico Autry's fine.
Good
he got benched.
He had two sacks.
Yeah, he's got suspended.
He got hurt. He got, well, yeah.
Danico Autry's still
he
good.
Got suspended. Why no, do you think he got
no,
suspended?
Like, in the playoff why, game, he went and why, sacked the quarterback.
Why do you think he got suspended?
Yeah,
he would be arguing against this every time. But now he's
why would you take?
I said 9
why would you take the juice?
I would be against this. But I'm not against it in this one instance because you're taking.
I'm not against
money
it, but not at that price, Jared. I'm not against you. I'm just against the price.
We have to let.
That's all I'm against.
We have to let Jared get to the start of Stillman and Company coming up next. Barry Trotz will be live at 5 o'clock right here at BetMGM Sports Lounge. Predators season finale tonight against Dallas. Of course, Stillman and Company coming up next.
Be love on your people and the people outside of your circle. Have a blessed, wonderful, and safe Wednesday. Peace.